Welcome to Message of Hope, the radio ministry of Meadowview Church of Christ, located at 6750 Raiders Road in Frazeesburg. Meadowview Church of Christ meets every Sunday with a worship service at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10:15 a.m., and evening service at 6:30 p.m. We invite you to join us. To learn more about the Meadowview Church of Christ, visit us online at meadowviewchurch.com.
We're going to be in the book of Galatians to get started with today, chapter 6. I took the title from the message there, and we're also going to be in Matthew chapter 11. As I want to start a new sermon series today that will focus on doing some personal spiritual evaluation. What we're going to be doing is talking a lot about what God has said concerning the importance of prayer. So over the next few weeks, I want to encourage you to focus at least part of your prayer time on yourself, specifically on how God is using you to serve in His kingdom. And there's nothing wrong with that. Now, obviously, we pray for other people and we pray for other things, but it's okay to ask God to help yourself. And I want you to concentrate on that over the next few weeks. So the title for today's message is, Let Us Not Lose Heart. And I got it from Galatians 6. So I want to start by reading verses 9 and 10. And then we're going to ask for God's help and get right into His word. Here's what Paul writes. Let's not become discouraged in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we do not become weary. So then while we have opportunity, let's do good to all people and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you again for your presence. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that it reveals to us, not only in the salvation that you offer through your son Jesus, but you have not left us wondering about how we should live our lives. And yet as we live our lives, Lord, we know that there are times when we become disheartened, we become discouraged, we begin to lose heart. And that's what Paul was addressing in Galatians chapter 6. And that's what we want to address for these few moments today. So Lord, I pray you will use me in a way that will be pleasing to you. I pray that what is said will be encouraging to all of us and challenging so that we will not lose heart in our faith and in our walk with you. So Father, I just pray for your help, your wisdom, and your understanding. Thank you for the truth of your word. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Paul is addressing here in these two verses from Galatians something that many Christians, I believe, can identify with. I know I can. He says that we are not to become discouraged, or other translations say do not lose heart or grow weary in doing good. I think all of us tend to lose heart or grow weary from time to time. And that's especially true in our day-to-day living. Now, in our work world, sometimes the term that's used to describe that is burnout. Sometimes there's a very dedicated, committed person who grows weary, who becomes tired of giving, of doing, of serving, and eventually their joy of service is gone. I read an article one time that was talking about the New York City Transit Company, and they were missing a bus and a driver some years ago for over a week. Authorities searched for this man, but they couldn't find him. And finally, 10 days later, after the man had disappeared, they found him, bus included, in Miami, Florida. When the driver was asked why he did what he did, this was his response. I'd had it with the cold weather. I'd had it with all my passengers, and I'd had it with my family. One day after I got off work, I thought to myself, I wonder what would happen if I just took off, if I just spent some time by myself. And that's what he did. He took off for Florida, and he enjoyed the sun and the surf and the sand for over a week, all by himself. Now, let me say that's not a good idea, okay? Don't get any ideas here. But have you ever felt like that? Have you ever gotten frustrated? Have you ever gotten aggravated with life because things aren't going well and you want to pull your hair out? I can't do that. Or you want to pull someone else's hair out. Or you just want to run away from it all for a little while. Well, what is true in the secular world is unfortunately sometimes true in the spiritual world. And perhaps there have been times when you have thought about quitting the Christian life. Maybe you begin to think after a period of time, what's the use in coming to church? Why not just drop out and do what everyone else in the world is doing? The New Testament writers all realize that from time to time, faithful workers for the Lord become weary and need encouragement. And I know life can be tough sometimes. It can become disheartening, but we must not lose heart. That's what Paul is addressing here. And he would say basically the same thing in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 13, when he writes, "But as for you, brothers and sisters, do not grow weary of doing good." So here's what I want to do today. I want to answer two questions that should help us keep doing good things, because that's what God wants us to be doing as his servants. So here's question number one. Why do those in the Lord's work lose heart or grow weary in doing good? Well, there are many reasons that I could give for that, but I want to focus in on three general reasons why Christians may start to lose heart. Here's the first one. We tend to get discouraged. That's why I think the New American Standard writes that in Galatians 6:9. And discouragement leads to doubt. Now, in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 11, I think there's a good example of this. Now, we all know about John the Baptist, right? I mean, John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus. He was Jesus' cousin. He was preparing the way for Jesus to come, right? And you remember earlier in Matthew, Jesus appeared, came to John the Baptist to be baptized in the Jordan River, and John couldn't believe it. He knew who Jesus was, and yet he baptized him to fulfill all righteousness. Listen to what it says, Matthew 11, beginning in verse 1. When Jesus had finished giving instruction to his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now, while in prison, John the Baptist heard about the works of Christ, and he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or are we to look for someone else?" And I've always thought about, wait a minute. John already knew who Jesus was. I like how one commentator writes in this verse. He says this, and I quote, "John has already recognized Jesus' identity. Now in prison, he is undoubtedly discouraged and doubting. He's like many other men and women of God, facing trials that seem greater than their power to endure. As great as John the Baptist was, he went through a period of discouragement and doubt." And I believe that's an accurate description of what's happening here. I mean, does that happen to us at any time? You try to do something, you want to make sure everything's right, and then it backfires, something blows up in your face, and then you begin to wonder, "God, where are you? What's going on here, Lord? Are you really there?" When the world around seems to be coming down on you, it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to start doubting God's providence and his presence. However, I was thinking about this week, and I came across a quote. Sometimes doubt and discouragement is something we may need. Now, here's the quote that I came across. President Abraham Lincoln once said this, "I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. The best place to go in any circumstance is to our knees. And if discouragement or doubt leads us to our knees, then so be it. That's where we need to be. We need to be talking to the Lord." Here's another reason that Christians may tend to lose heart or grow weary in doing good. There are no observable results. In many activities in the secular world or in the business world, sometimes even in our own lives, financially speaking especially, we can measure our success in tangible ways. However, serving the Lord isn't always easy to measure. We may labor for years without knowing the results of our work, and we grow weary thinking that non-visible results mean no results. Well, let me give you some examples. Think about what it must have been like for Noah. All those years building the ark. All those years preaching and the people laughing at him when he talked about the coming flood. And it was just his family that walked onto that ark with him. Can you imagine what he must have felt? When God commissioned Isaiah to be a prophet, he told Isaiah, I want you to deliver my message to a people who will not hear and they will not understand. Jeremiah was commissioned by God to deliver his message. But the only results Jeremiah ever received was his own ridicule and torture. And it led him to despair of his own life. Noah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all labored for God with absolutely nothing to show for it from a worldly point of view. Imagine how weary they must have become as they continued to labor for the Lord with no observable results. Same thing can happen to us. Sometimes we just don't understand what's going on. We don't understand what God's doing. We can't see any observable results for what we're doing in life for our Lord. Maybe you're working with someone in your life and all of a sudden they don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. They turn away from the Lord. Our job is to keep being faithful and realize that God will give the increase in his time even if we can't see it. Here's the third reason why God's people tend to lose heart. Those who face criticism will sometimes keep them from doing good. No matter what decisions are made or what good may come from those decisions, there's always someone who's ready to say something like, we don't do it that way. We've never done it that way before. Or, oh no, we'll never do that. Listen, if we are being active in our service to the Lord, we are going to be criticized. That's a part of life. That's going to happen. In 1923, a Russian-born engineer living in the United States by the name of Vladimir Zworykin worked on his latest invention. And he was told by many people, look, you're wasting your time. Stop wasting your time on this thing and do something more useful. Well, Zworykin didn't listen to that. He kept working on his invention for 6 years. And in 1929, he obtained the first patent for his new invention, something you may have heard of, called the color television. Among his many achievements, Zworykin also helped perfect the electron microscope and other devices that greatly advanced medical and biological research. In 1966, he was awarded the National Medal of Science. And yet, by his own testimony, he said that criticism marked every milestone of the path that he took in his life. Someone has said, where there is light, there are always bugs. Oh, yeah, that's true. When we are involved in doing good, Satan will use any means necessary to take away the good. Another preacher once told me, and it took me a while to think about this. He said, a dog doesn't chase a parked car. Now think about it for a moment. You won't hear any complaints if you are parked and not moving for Jesus. You won't hear any complaints. So yes, we can have the tendency to lose heart, to grow weary, but we must continue to fight it and seek God's help. And that leads me to ask and answer the second question today. What are some ways that we can fight the tendency to lose heart in doing good? Well, here's the first way. We must focus on the fact that Jesus is alive and working through his people. Can you say amen to that? I am so glad that our Savior is alive and he's working through his people. He's working through the church. Now, I want to go back to that story, Matthew chapter 11. John the Baptist is in prison. He's wondering if Jesus is really the Messiah. Listen to Jesus' response beginning in verse 4. Jesus answered and said to them, go and report to John what you hear and see. Those who are blind receive sight. And those who limp walk. Those with leprosy are cleansed. Those who are deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is any person who does not take offense at me. Some proof in life is necessary and helpful. John the Baptist, as well as others, needed evidence that Jesus was who he claimed to be. And he gave them that evidence. Jesus essentially said, I want you to look, I want you to open your eyes, and you will understand that I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God. I have healed the sick. I have raised the dead. And I have preached the good news. Do you still doubt? Now, some people in days gone by didn't have birth certificates like we have today. And one such person was a guy you may have heard of by the name of Will Rogers. One time when he was later in life, he was applying for a passport. So he went down, the clerk asked him for his birth certificate. Will Rogers says, well, I don't have one. She said, well, I can't give you a passport. You have to have a birth certificate. And Rogers says, why? She said, so I can have proof of your birth. Rogers answered, well, I'm here, ain't I? I don't know what else you need. It was clear that Will Rogers had been born. And for those of us who believe in God and we follow Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we know that Jesus is alive and that he is working through his people. But I want you to think about this. What is our evidence? Now, I could go into a sermon series on that. But you know what? I believe the number one evidence, and this is for me. The number one evidence that I know Jesus is alive and working through his people is the changed lives of the people who have come to him. I've seen people live kind of lives that you wouldn't even want to be around before, and now they're faithful servants of the Lord, and they don't waver in their faith. And I think that's the greatest example. That's the greatest miracle that God has ever done, that he could take a sinner like me and like you who are on our way to hell. And because of the blood of Christ, he can change us into becoming what he wants us to become. That's the greatest miracle in the world. And that's why we can know that Jesus is alive and he is continuing to change those lives every day. You see, Jesus wants to work through you and through me, but we must make the effort to work for him. And if we are physically able to serve and to do good for others, then that is what God wants us to be doing. I love what Paul wrote to Titus, chapter 3, verse 14. Listen to these words. Our people, Christians, our people must also learn to engage in good deeds to meet pressing needs so that they will not be unproductive. Pretty simple, isn't it? Jesus said it this way, Matthew 5, verse 16. Your light must shine before people in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now notice Jesus didn't say that we let our light shine by attending services every Sunday. He said, let your light shine by doing good deeds, good works. Think about that. What is it that will cause other people to praise our Father? Do you really believe that just by attending services and doing nothing else will cause people to praise God and want to learn more about Jesus? Do you really believe that people in this community can see your light shining while you're sitting in this building? The answer to that's no. But if we allow our light to shine outside of these walls, others will know that Jesus is alive and that he is working through his people. Secondly, we must focus on our eternal reward. Now, we read that verse earlier in Galatians 6:9. Paul said, let's not become discouraged or lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not become weary. Now, Paul preceded this verse by saying in verses 7 and 8, do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a person sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will reap destruction from the flesh. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. Now, Paul here gives a fundamental law of nature. What we sow is what we reap. And that's true physically, and that's true spiritually. If you sow beans, you get beans. Peas, you get peas. Corn, you get corn. Weeds, you get weeds. Paul is saying here that if we do not grow weary and we continue to sow good works, we will reap eternal life. Now, Paul is not saying that we earn our salvation by good works, but he is saying that where we spend eternity will be determined by what kind of sowing that we do. So we must focus on the example of Jesus. Hebrews 12, verse 2. We read that we should be looking only at Jesus, the originator and perfecter of the faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Please remember, Jesus endured far more than we can ever imagine. And we must use that realization to strengthen us as we run the race of life, knowing if we do not grow weary, that we, like Jesus, will receive the joy that was set before us. And that joy will turn into eternal life. Paul expressed the same idea, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. He writes, "Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer person is decaying, yet our inner person is being renewed day by day." When you find yourself getting discouraged and losing heart, focus on the reward. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Third way to fight the tendency to lose heart in doing good is this. We must focus on our service to the Lord, not on what others may or may not be doing. Paul made a very interesting statement in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. He was giving an indictment to those who were not working in the church at Thessalonica. Here's what he says. "For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. For we hear that some among you are living an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now we command and exhort such persons in the Lord Jesus Christ to work peacefully and eat their own bread." In other words, Paul was telling the lazy busybodies of Thessalonica, keep quiet and get to work. Then he said, as we read earlier, verse 13, "But as for you, brothers and sisters, do not grow weary of doing good." Paul encouraged the faithful to not allow the laziness of others to keep them from doing good things. And I believe he's addressing a danger in the church today. You see, there's a lot of good works. There's a lot of ministries. There are a lot of personal deeds that have been stopped in churches because people have simply lost heart. They've grown tired and weary. A lot of church programs and ministries that have been disbanded weren't done so because of a lack of efficiency, but because of a lack of zeal on the part of those who were working in them. And that is why it is so important to have as many volunteers as possible, to keep supporting the ministries that we have at this church or at any church. As the old saying goes, the more the merrier. So we need to follow the encouragement of Paul in Galatians 6, verse 10. "So then, while we have opportunity, let's do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith." Paul says what we all need to hear. When we think we're going to give up, when we think we're going to lose heart, grow weary, or become tired in doing good, turn your attention to Jesus and then help somebody out. There's always someone that has it worse than we do. So get your mind off only yourself and think about others. And then when you think about others, do something to help them. The will of God for each of us is to have a servant's heart and keep on doing good. And that's my encouragement for you today. So let me end with a story. Ron Willingham wrote a book called Life is What You Make It. And in the book, he tells a story that took place several years ago about a member of the Central Church of Christ in Amarillo, Texas. And he talks in there about a man by the name of Giles Tate, who he describes as a man who had a servant's heart. One day while he was going home from work, Giles saw two children who were playing in a vacant lot. And as he was driving by them, they looked dirty, ragged. They were very, very thin. And he was concerned. So he stopped his car and he got out and he walked up to the kids And he said, "Where you boys live?" And they pointed to an old abandoned school bus parked near the alley. They told Giles, "That's where we live. We live there with our dad, and he's very sick." Giles said, "Well, can I go see your dad and see if I can help?" And they said, "Sure, come on." So he went over to that bus, which was in terrible condition. The windows were broken. Cardboard was substituted. Beds were made out of old, decaying seats, newspapers, and weeds. It was a pathetic sight. The children's father was too weak to stand. Thinking him near death, Giles took him to the hospital. It was determined that he had tuberculosis. He was put into a hospital room and then quarantined. Giles Tate, this servant of Jesus, told the hospital that he would pay for all the man's medical expenses. He didn't forget the man, but he continued to visit him. And since he couldn't go into his room, he stood outside and talked through the window screen. One day, the man asked Giles to bring his Bible and read to him. Giles did that every day. The very day the man was finally released from the hospital, he wanted to be baptized into Christ. And while he was getting ready to be baptized, he told the preacher about Giles Tate, who was there, but he was back talking to the preacher, this man was. And this is what he said. He said, "Over the years, I've heard a lot about Jesus Christ and how he cared about people, but never had I seen him living in anyone like I saw him living in Giles Tate, who cared so deeply for me and for my children." I love that story because that is what serving Jesus is all about. Participate in good deeds by meeting pressing needs. That's what we're here for, brothers, sisters, amen? That's what we're here for. So as the praise team comes, I've just got one question to ask as we end today. How have you been serving in helping others, in meeting pressing needs?
This is Sam Dunn, and I have the privilege of serving as the evangelist with the Meadowview Church of Christ in Frazeesburg. I just want to thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast and listening to a message from Meadowview. If you do not already have a church home, or if we can help you in any way, you can contact us through our website, which is meadowviewchurch.com, or simply call us at 740-828-2536. Thanks again for tuning in, and may God's blessings be with you today.